Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we've got feedback, all the feedback, your feedback, other feedback, other people's feedback, feedback about their feedback, and let's get to feedback. All that and more of that we have no control over.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our producer chair today, we have the lovely Ashley Coffin. How you doing, Ash?
I am fantastic. How are you guys?
Really good. Really, really good.
Quite well. Quite well.
Quite well.
Swimming. Going swimmingly.
All right. Well, welcome, welcome, Ashley. Hit us with that five-star review.
We got Ketona02, the time travel listener.
Ooh.
I love these guys. I found it just through a Google search because I really needed to have a conversation, quote unquote, with someone about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I just finished the whole series on Netflix, and since I had been so behind, nobody was talking about it. Facepalm emoji. I love the back and forth and the voices. Your swings on what the shows would do was great. I appreciate y'all so much, and I'm looking forward to coming into the present time to hang with y'all.
Love
well,
that.
Thank
yes.
you from the
Join
future.
Us. Join
past
us.
Past person.
Please come forward. Come forward to the future. Where it's nice here.
Come back to the future.
Whoa. You don't get to say that every day.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
You don't. You don't. Okay. Well, let's jump right into the feedback. Ashley is going to head into her feedback cave where she's going to collect the live feedback. And me and Jeff are going to tackle these feedbacks. Here we go.
BD Washington, one of our patrons, says this might be a bit late in terms of being covered, but inspired by my 11-year-old son. Apologies for the length. The heart of the question is, do you think there was, or any sense that there are, either A, people who did not come back from the snap, and or B, people who came back from the snap and consciously did not want to? We've been having very deep discussions about the passing of my mom over the past year, and the MCU, in part, sparked this philosophical light in him a la the blip slash snap. He references that Ant-Man and the Wasp are seen with Cassie in the overlay of Tony Stark's speech of hoping we get it all back towards the conclusion of Endgame, but no sign of Scott's ex-wife or husband. My son also referenced that Rambo kind of reforms in WandaVision, but maybe has remorse of ever coming back, not out of anger towards Captain Marvel, but because her mom had already left this life and she was alone. Were those who were snapped aware that they were, again, maintaining consciousness and somehow glad to be done with this life? Will we hear this narrative? His theories had me in my Hulk voice, shut the front door moment, and I had no good answer. Then again, I also responded with Basil in the second Austin Powers breaking the fourth wall moment, suggesting in explaining time interruption plots, I suggest you not worry about such things and just enjoy yourself. That goes for all of you out there, too. Thoughts?
So, I don't think that the people who snapped know they were gone, right? Like, at least Maria, that's how she seems to have experienced it. She seems to wake up.
Monica.
Peter said the same thing.
Monica, sorry.
Peter Parker, when he came back, was just like, hey, Mr. Stark, I got all dusty, and then I came back, and he didn't have any sort of...
Dr. Strange said it was 5 years. Yeah,
Dr. Strange guy said that it was, like, 5 years, and, like, now we gotta go help him? Like, he's being all chatterboxery, but it didn't seem like he had any recollection of, you know, the time in between.
Yeah. So I think the idea that they were like conscious is either not true or they've forgotten. And as far as we know, everybody came back. Like, we don't have any examples of people who didn't. I'm assuming the snap worked.
Yeah.
The fact that Cassie's parents weren't there, I think that was just because they weren't in the movie at all, even before or after the snap. We never found out if her parents got snapped away, right?
Yeah, we don't know. Mm. They didn't. I don't think that they covered that. They just, there was her in that house, and that's all that.
Yeah.
That's all we were shown.
I would even assume, most likely, if she's still in that house, that they're probably, at least one of them stayed around. But, you know, could be, or maybe like a grandmother could have moved in with her or something like that.
Could have been a real Lord of the Flies kind of moment.
Well, that's the thing. How many kids like lost all their parents, you know?
Yeah.
And like were orphaned by the situation.
How many babies were orphaned by their parents being snapped away and then subsequently starved to death?
I don't like
because let's, they didn't have a caretaker.
Probably a good amount.
Yeah,
I think.
Don't like this line of discussion at all. Let's just like ignore that babies exist whenever we talk about the snap. I feel like
I think that's what Ashley wants to do. That's just the, in that, general.
Like, oh God, what am I going to do? I can go on vacation again.
Indeed.
Back to my cave.
So, back to the question from an 11-year-old.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, that's funny. That's funny. I think we answered that question pretty well. I don't think we're going to hear this narrative. Like you said, Matt, it could be that they forgot what had happened during the 5 years, you know,
right.
Like they were in the,
it's possible.
The soul realm. That could be a what if story. Maybe.
I mean, it could be a story they tell at some point, but like, I don't see it. Like, I think they've just decided that the people who come back don't know what happened to themselves.
Yeah.
Or what was happening or anything. And then when they come back, like, Monica just thinks she was having a nap, you know?
Right.
She's like, Wanda never talks. Wanda never talks about it, right?
Right.
Mm. Or she said she could feel something when she was gone, just that emptiness.
I think it was that when she got back, it was just an emptiness and sadness over Vision being gone.
Right, because Vision was gone.
That's real sad. Anyway, but
thank you for writing it in, though. I definitely, it's cool that your son or your kiddo there had the forethought to think about that stuff. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have a real difficult teenager on your hands there. Too smart for his own good. Let's see. Todd Fitzhugh on Facebook said, "Hi guys, I'm not up to date with the comics, only the MCU. Are the Thunderbolts and Dark Avengers both groups with evil intentions? Thanks."
Why don't you field that one, Jeff?
Yes and no. You know, the Thunderbolts act like they want to be a legitimate organization, but they were started by Baron Zemo. And then they actually ended up going into an actually like straight and narrow organization. I think where they were led by Ross. They did eventually come around to being like a sort of good team, kind of like how Punisher's a good guy. The Dark Avengers were like the public face of the Avengers during Norman Osborn's Dark Reign. And that was basically bad people being put into the roles of these heroes that everybody loved. And having that ability, that public face to basically do no wrong. Like Venom was still, you know, able to eat people and they were basically just doing bad stuff all the time. And that eventually came back to bite them in that, you know, the Secret Avengers were fighting against them. They were underground. And eventually during the fight in Siege, in the comic Siege, when they went to lay siege to Asgard, it ended up not going so well for them because basically everybody came to Asgard's aid. And there was a big knockdown dragout fight with like Secret Avengers, Secret Warriors, Young Avengers showed up, like all of the Asgardians were there. Like, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. So it seems to me, based on our discussions, which I haven't read the comics either, that they're all somewhere on the spectrum between anti-hero and villain, just straight up villain. Like, and they're all individually right. those things. There's some actual just straight up villains on the team, and there's some anti-heroes, and they all have their own sort of, like, some end up getting off of the team or kicked off or whatever. And some of them try to bring the team to do good things, but, like, they're all, there's no straight up heroes around. Seems like.
Right. No more heroes.
No more heroes.
Rastapopoulos sends us an email saying, "Hi, Matt, Jeff, Ashley, Melissa, Jay Scotty, and Matthew Fox. Hope nobody's left out." Whew. "I'm Abhi, a 14-year-old boy from India. I had two theories," cough, fanfic, cough, "to share with you guys, both concerning T'Challa." So here we go. "What if the Ravagers get to know about vibranium and track it to a country called Wakanda on planet Earth? They land in Wakanda in hopes of acquiring the vibranium mound, but get intercepted and arrested by the Dora Milaje. When they're taken in front of King T'Chaka, Yondu, by the means of his arrow, kills the king and frees his men. While his men are taking the vibranium, he finds a 2-year-old toddler hiding under a bed. This turns out to be T'Challa. Yondu takes the baby, kind of like Odin and Loki, and raises him, who ultimately grows up to become the legendary Star-Lord."
I'm guessing this is based on the "What If" story we're about to
hear
about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except the 2-year-old part. That's absolutely possible. Because I think we see him in the trailer look up at the sky, and he looks about the same age that Star-Lord looked when he was taken.
Yeah. He looks in the 8 or 9 range. There is also that part where, you know, Yondu's talking to the kid, like, "You don't seem afraid or anything. Like, it's weird that you're not freaking out." And the kid's just like, is this a spaceship? Like, he's real excited.
Mm-hmm.
So he's at least old enough to realize that these are aliens abducting him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And the next point that Abhi makes is, "Black Panther, Wakanda forever. Wakanda is at war with Atlantis. Shuri has a recurring nightmare in which she sees her countrymen fight against the Atlanteans. She sees T'Challa battle the king of Atlantis, Namor, who ultimately stabs and kills the Black Panther via his trident. Shuri reluctantly becomes the queen and has trouble taking up the mantle of the Black Panther. She ultimately becomes the Black Panther. In the comics, she becomes the White Panther after T'Challa gets humiliated and makes peace with Atlantis, and they fight the bigger threat of Dr. Dorcas, who is a big Namor villain. I really want to listen to what you guys think about them. I've been listening to the cast since Captain Marvel. Love it so much. Love you, 3000.
Hey, thanks, man. Love you too, 3000 Abhi.
3000 Abhi.
3000 Abhi.
Abhi 3000. That's the new musician.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so, well, the one about Black Panther, they've already said they're not going to do T'Challa. They're not going to make T'Challa. They're not going to recreate that.
They're not
going to
recreate or recast.
Right.
They said they're not going to recast, right?
I wonder if they could show him fighting in his Black Panther outfit. Like, they said they're not going to, like, do the whole CGI version of the actor, but, like, could they do a thing where he dies in battle?
I don't want to see that either.
I don't
either. To be
honest.
Like, I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think anybody wants to actually see that. I think if that's, like, beginning of your moving, you're going to have a lot of people, like, crying, and it's just going to hit too hard.
Yeah.
I don't think they can show it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But what do they do? Like, how?
I don't know.
How do we pass that torch?
Yeah.
Without it being, you know, something to this, you know, to this effect.
Yeah.
I don't even have a theory, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't either. I was all on board with the idea of the Namor theories when we were talking about this, you know, a long time ago. But now that the actor's passed away, like, it just feels like that lineage story of telling where they're going next seems so big. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like that's all you'd be able to tell in one movie. But I definitely think this idea of the war between Atlantis and Wakanda seems absolutely possible, you know, down the road. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I see it right away. But they're going to fight somebody. There's going to be a physical threat as well as a kind of internal threat, as always there is.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it, you know?
Mm.
I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's a hard thing to say, you know, what they're going to do like that, because it's a touchy subject, and it's a really difficult situation, and like it all sucks that it happened the way that it did mm-hmm. with his untimely passing.
Yeah, for sure. but I like your story, Abby. That's mm-hmm.
keep writing more.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Keep writing more. Build that skill. Don't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hide it. Keep it going. We got Eric Bailey. Send us an email. It says, I take it you've heard about the Old Man Star-Lord audio program coming to Sirius and other streamers. Do you think the story will be more of a what-if and less of a telling of some part of the primary branch of the current timeline? I like this idea of all the wee Marvel fans gathered around the laptop and listening to a story while using that old dust bucket known as the imagination to fill in the visuals. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this declining talent in the age of shiny things and flashy lights. On a personal note, the jobs you three do consistently to bring us podcast content is hard work and very appreciated by myself and countless other pandas. Thank you for holding out the umbrella each week for us to take shelter underneath. Ash, I expect you to give zero shits about those one-star reviews and treasure the words of the people who love being stranded with you. As we are the ones looking out for each other in this community. Keep it up, team, and thank you again. Love you each 3 × 10⁹ and possibly a few decimal places beyond that. Eric from the Woodland.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate you, man. And 100% agree that Ashley's a treasure and doesn't need to change herself.
No shits given.
Zero shits given.
I do think that the Old Man Star-Lord, it's not going to be part of the MCU for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's going to be akin to that Wolverine story that we were we advertised for a little bit.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that all the like all those radio dramas, I think they're just gonna, maybe they'll make a little universe of their own, but I don't think they're fitting in 616 or the MCU. I think they're just,
yeah,
they're just Elseworld tales.
Oh no, I hate that term. Although I did like The Longest Night, the Wolverine one. That was a really solid audio drama.
Yeah.
Like the atmosphere that they were able to produce in audio form was stellar.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
George Tarrant sent us an email. Hey guys, firstly, I'd like to thank you for the consistent and high quality podcasts you produce. I'm from the UK and finished college last year. I now have my own car washing business, and what keeps me occupied when working are your podcasts. Having been a mega Marvel fan since a young age, it's great to see the community you guys have created. Having got in touch, I'd like to give you a couple of Marvel-related questions to hear your thoughts on. Number one. Now, Doctor Strange doesn't have the Time Stone. Do you think his powers are now limited? And how will this come into play for Multiverse of Madness? Will he find a way to get it back?
I don't think he's getting the Time Stone back.
I mean, he's still pretty powerful without it, because he never used it against Thanos, right?
Right. Yeah, he didn't use it against Thanos, and he was still able to, like, kind of hold his own. Like,
he won't have his wild card anymore, though.
Yeah. Strange is no pushover, but I think that the tale of the Infinity Stones, the Infinity Saga, if you will, is done.
Yeah.
I think that we're not going to get the Time Stone back, at least for a while.
Do you think he's going to keep wearing his necklace as, like, an homage?
Ooh, it could be a like he wears it just to be like, no, look, yeah, I've got it's right here. Don't make me pull this out.
Oh yeah.
Like Dormammu's coming back and he's just like
We've talked to it before, but yeah. The whole thing that kept Dormammu away is no longer there.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
George has another question. Number two here is, what is one thing in the entire MCU that you think should have or shouldn't have happened? For me, I think they should have done a Hulk versus Thanos rematch. Once again, thanks for everything you do for the community.
Hmm.
Hmm.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. The Hulk versus Thanos rematch seems a little misplaced.
I don't think Hulk could take him.
Yeah, well, like Hulk already lost to Thanos. Like nothing's really changed. Hulk hasn't gotten stronger.
No, but I think that's the point, is that, like, you know, giving Hulk a chance to redeem himself. But here's the thing I want to see.
He redeemed himself by snapping.
A Hulk versus Banner rematch, right? Like, the thing that bothers me about the way the Hulk ended up with, like, being Professor Hulk and everything, he talks about how he put the brains and brawn together. But, like, did he put the personalities together? Or is he just Banner in Hulk's body? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in that case, is the rebellious Hulk character who, like, is suppressing himself during Infinity War, like, is that character still around? Is he down under Banner somewhere? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did he cast that character out like a demon, you know? Like, is he coming back? Like...
He might, if Red Hulk shows up, he's going to need him.
Hmm. Possibly.
Yeah. He's going to need that rage.
He's going to need get a little bigger. Start training.
You got to bulk up.
Yeah.
Got to start eating your protein.
Or he'll, like, transform into the Hulk but in Banner's body. Right?
Oh, like, he's just like okay, running around you, like I someone with rabies. Like,
yeah, so he's just inverted. Maybe that's what he did in the Gamma Lab, right?
You just see Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner running around, just like, Thor, go! Hulk, stay!
It's pretty good.
Hulk, like, raging fire. But he's a strippy guy.
Yeah, just a little Mark Ruffalo, just a little middle-aged man.
Yep.
I love it.
He just looks homeless and crazy.
He could do crazy. Just, he plays it well.
He could play crazy pretty well.
He'd always be naked because he'd, like, the Hulk clothes would just fall off of him when he, like, transformed. Right. So he'd just be running around as naked Mark Ruffalo, thinking that he was super powerful, but he's just Mark Ruffalo's body.
He could play crazy. I've seen Shutter Island.
I haven't seen Shutter Island.
He wasn't crazy in Shutter Island.
No. Oh, okay.
Shutter Island was a hell of a movie, though.
I've heard that for years, and I've always meant to watch it.
It's upsetting. Mm. But I love it. Great, great ending.
Yeah. Yeah. Not something I'm going to spoil here for you.
Thank you. Because I would like to see it one day. What is the one thing in the entire MCU that you think should have or shouldn't have happened?
Nothing. It's all perfect. That's not true. I would probably say that Iron Man 3 shouldn't have happened. Honestly, like, if they could have put that during the 4th of July, Independence Day, rather than Christmas, that would have fixed a whole lot of my gripes. Because, like,
really? Is that your gripe with that movie? Is there just a
lot of
time?
It felt wrong. Most of it felt wrong. It was out of time from when it should have been. Like, nothing made sense. Like, there was a theme going here of America. Like, America gets a hero, Iron Patriot, and, like, yeah, just it was all, and, like, the colonialism and the
why
American,
do you hate Christmas? Why do you hate Christmas, Jeff?
Because it doesn't belong in Iron Man. No, like, the things that they were doing, all of them were themes around Independence Day and how, like, maybe America's not the best nation. Like, it could have really, like, had a good, like, question there, you know, a good moral quandary to debate. But it didn't. It was just like, Christmas, because Shane Black is a person that likes Christmas movies.
He does like to make every movie a Christmas movie. But That's funny. I've just never heard you complain about that particular part as much.
I did. I did a lot on our Iron Man 3 takedown.
Mm. Takedown? I don't think you ever took it down. It's still, it's still the best Marvel movie.
Wow. No.
Hard no.
Hard no.
What shouldn't have happened? I really don't have like a really good answer for this.
Go ahead and say it. Thor 2 shouldn't have happened.
Well, yes, but that's not an event. That's just me griping about the movie that you're so wrong about.
Yeah, no, we talked about that already on our Iron Man 3 takedown episode.
Okay.
I'd like to do a Thor takedown, too.
I bet you
now,
would.
Now, Matt tried to make it into a Thor takedown, but...
He's talking about our Iron Man 3 mm-hmm. versus Thor 2 episode that
oh yeah
he was clearly wrong throughout.
Anyway.
Sports!
Let's not fall back into this. It's so simple.
But we might. Okay. Things that should have happened. Oh, well, the easy answer is that, like, the Defenders should have shown up for the final battle in Endgame.
Yeah.
Or just at all.
Yeah. Or just at all. Like, Punisher pulls up in a van, like, a bunch of guns, pulls out with, like, a Gatling gun and all the Defenders.
Die, space dogs! Very much Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, man. I want a Rocket Raccoon and Punisher spinoff thing so bad.
Okay.
It still really upsets me that Black Widow's not at the final battle after being in all the movies and all the stuff, just like the fact that she's not there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bummer. But at the same time, I get, like, you gotta let death matter at some point.
Yeah, tell that to Gamora.
No, I agree. They definitely don't always do that. That's the big problem. But I'm not gonna, like, get mad at them for one time doing the right, like, letting it matter.
Who else would have been sacrificed, though? Is the thing.
Hawkeye, who gives a shit?
No, I'm saying, like, he's in the original six as well, so there would be people who would be upset by him being gone.
More people or less people?
There would have been other people upset.
True.
But probably not as many. If you had to pick one of the six to go, who are you picking?
If you had to pick one of the six to go, why did it have to be the female? Is that what you're asking me?
No. If you personally had to pick one of the six just to go, who would it be?
No, you can't. You can't.
But you can. That. I mean, you can't, I'll though. Say it for you. Okay.
No. Hulk. Banner gives up Hulk. Like, barfs Hulk out, and then Hulk falls and dies. But he doesn't die because he's Hulk. But he can't turn anymore, and that's why he has to use the Hulkbuster armor.
Okay.
Is that your thing that you think should have happened?
No, it sounds gross. It's so stupid. It
sounds really gross. Do you have any thoughts? Or just is Iron Man 3 it? Just no, Christmas.
It needs to not be Christmas.
Your solution is to the one thing you think shouldn't have happened in the MCU is Christmas shouldn't exist. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
You're just in general.
You're just a real Scrooge about it all. I got you.
Yep.
Okay. All right, move it on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to pull an Odin and be like, why do you twist my words?
I have one. I think that they shouldn't have killed Loki off halfway through or like three quarters through Thor the Dark World, because literally after he's gone, I don't have any idea what the rest of the movie's about. I don't care.
I agree with that. And it made it not matter.
Like, yeah, it's towards the end.
And like, or just don't do it and have him immediately back, you know? Let his death have some stakes or, like, have some
weight.
Something happen.
It was already the second time.
Yeah.
Thor even says that in Infinity War. He's like, he's died and come back a lot, but I think this might be it.
Wrong again, babe.
Wah-wah. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. We got Jacob Waters sending us an email. Hi, Ashley and guys.
Oh, hey. Hi, Jacob.
I'm curious why you skipped over some possibilities of how the X-Men could enter the MCU if they'd been around the entire time. It seems to me that there are two big potential answers to why the X-Men weren't introduced yet if the MCU goes the route of mutants have existed the entire time, which the likes of Wolverine and Apocalypse would suggest that being the case. That being said, here are my ideas. All right, so before you even get to your ideas, I'm going to stop you there. We didn't get to, like, every possible computation of how the freaking X-Men could exist because we were on a time crunch.
I said that back to him for sure in an email. I was like, we did our best.
We had to get through the episode as quickly as possible so that we could get to trivia, which you all should join on Wednesday nights, twitch.tv/TrainToPandaTV.
That's right.
7 Central.
Yeah, at 7:30 Central. Anyway. That being said, here are Jacob's ideas. One, Xavier could have been wiping the knowledge of mutant existence the entire time, especially with the aid of Cerebro. This could, in theory, allow mutants to have been involved the entire time, as you all suggested, but were not seen, quote-unquote, in turn making the audience victim to Xavier's manipulation, too.
Ooh.
This isn't my strongest idea.
No, that's super unethical. And then it was like, why wouldn't they be helping?
Right, right.
Well, no, his point is maybe they were, and that even we as the audience were manipulated out of knowing.
Right. It's like Xavier was letting them help, but then was wiping the memories of everybody that was involved and would have seen them. You say this super unethical, but that's kind of on brand for Xavier.
Yeah, it is.
I know. He's really such a punk.
Yeah, I like it. I like that.
Number two, mutants have always existed, but the Xavier Academy and the X-Men have not yet existed, at least until the first snap. Then Xavier starts the school, and the first appearance slash movie would be Xavier putting together the X-Men. It would be another origin story, however, I believe it makes the introduction of the X-Men slash mutants a bit more seamless. I apologize for the long message, but I couldn't help share my thoughts. I really enjoy the podcast. I've been listening since the start of this year and wish I had discovered you sooner. Keep up the great work. Jake.
Hey, thank you, Jake.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, and that's actually what we said when we did the episode. We're like, hey, these are like the categories we thought of, and here's some ways we can discuss them, but like, throw your ideas out, and I like it. Those are great ideas.
Yeah.
And I definitely think it is possible that we will get... You know, they've already existed, and Professor X is just now starting to build the school.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, X just now starting to build the school seems a little contrived, maybe? I don't know that that's the right word, though. It seems like it's out of time.
You mean with the way that it is in comics and the way it is in...
Well, with the way that I understand the X-Men, be it from old movies or the comics or whatever, like, it just doesn't seem like that would fit. It doesn't seem like that would mesh, you know? But they haven't had control of the property, so, you know, it's not like they could just cram them in there.
Yeah, no, it's they're in a weird position, and, like, no matter what they do, it's not going to be exactly what we would have wanted from the beginning, so it's just, like, that's the question. That's why it's, like, such an interesting and weird question, like, how are mutants going to show up?
I think, though, that the mutants having always been there, like, it would put it in a bad spot in relation to the Eternals movie. Because the Eternals have been there the whole time, guiding humanity. Like, if the X-Men have also been there the whole time, that gets... I mean, it's a little
It's redundant. A little redundant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know they're runes, but they're also three double helixes. in that video, in that trailer we watched last episode.
And mutants, like...
It just looked like a lamp to me.
Just any old lamp.
Sometimes a lamp's just a lamp, Matt.
Humanity having the natural proclivity toward, or the inclination toward mutagenic evolution was a thing instilled in them by the Celestials. So, you know, the story of the Eternals could well tie back into the X-Men.
Yeah, that's why I was bringing up the double helixes.
Mm-hmm. Which I know. That's not what you were trying to do.
But I'm just saying they could be.
Oh, it's like that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing where like Coulson was carving the map, and it like turns out it wasn't a two-dimensional map. It was a three-dimensional thing seen from above.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, but with like that symbol. It's yeah. like, oh, it's not actually just, it's not that. It's actually a helix, but we only have a two-dimensional space to carve this rune.
Exactly. And the awakening is the X-Gene awakening in different people. Ooh.
I really don't want the Eternals and the X-Men to be mashed into one.
I don't think they will be.
I don't want that either.
But it could be similar to comics in that one is a progenitor of the other.
Could be. Let's see. Next up, Trent, the Canada Panda. Says at MCU cast, what if the mutant gene was created along with the Eternals and it/they held in dormant for thousands of years and have been woken by all the Infinity Stones snaps? And then says, Ashley, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's mutant gene. X-Men to the MCU.
That's definitely my theory. Like, if I had to pick one and put all my money on red, it would be that it's that cosmic energy from the snap, like kind of like what it did with Wanda, only with everybody else who might have a little bit of magic or a little bit of something in them.
Little light space magic.
It sucks, but it's simple.
Well, like, you know, it's fine as far as like how a hero can get their powers. It's just, it takes away from the Inhumans, you know,
and the X-Men,
that whole
little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, it just changes both of their stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, mutants are supposed to be, like, the natural next evolution, yeah. And, like,
that's
they're
the
still people.
Magneto thing.
That's the crux of their thing, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is, that's the version that we've been knowing for a while now, but it could be that, like, that's just not the story they're going to tell here. But it just, yeah. It feels weird after 20 years of watching movies where that's their whole thing, for them to bring them back and to lose that essential piece of who, of that story, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, it's not, you know, it's the movies. It's not just the movies though. Like, that's also what it is in comics, you know?
Oh, for
like,
sure.
It's the whole thing. And how do you trim that off?
My point is that, like, in the comics, yes, that is part of who they are, but they explore so many different stories in comics. But the movies we've seen, like the movies we've
seen, pretty limited,
and they're pretty focused on that idea. Like, they're all very focused on that idea. Almost every one of them starts with like a title sequences that has like the genome being like decoded and stuff, you know, or like the double helix is being swirled around and swimming
Apocalypse
through.
Apocalypse didn't have that.
No, Apocalypse had something very different.
Oh, if you've listened to the only arc of Monday Morning Movie Medics that we have posted, John has a whole spiel on how he hates that sort of storytelling, where it's like, hey, remember this? Remember time? Remember when time passed? Remember this event from your history books?
I love that Oscar Isaacs now gets to be another person who gets a Marvel redemption.
Yeah.
From the Fox or DC universe.
Yeah, he deserves it. He's so good. And that
he is
run as Apocalypse is the worst.
I feel like he could have done so much better with like better material and like there was that one monologue that he had that was like so epic, and like, where was that? Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, last but not least on our feedback, we've got Drew Greck sending us an email. Hey, Stranded Panda family.
Woo.
I was just going to leave it at fam, but I went
family
for the rest of the word. He typed family. He said, I just want to praise the Eternals trailer. This is what I've been waiting for. WandaVision was insanely creative and T'Fatwas was fun, but with hindsight, I think they're both okay to good shows. I'm sure Loki will be awesome, though, but ever since SDCC 2019, I've been most excited for Eternals. Oh. The idea that this will be the most artistic and creative experience in the MCU was enough to excite me, and after seeing Nomadland, I have complete faith in Chloe Zhao's directing abilities. What do I want from this movie? I want a big, sprawling story of epic proportions like Lord of the Rings or Zack Snyder's Justice League. I want a story that's just in the backdrop of the MCU, a film that isn't essential to the overall narrative of Phase 4. I know this is an unpopular opinion, but it's just how I'm feeling right now. Thank you all so much for your amazing podcast and community.
Hmm. I don't think any of that's necessarily too unpopular. I mean, maybe the Zack Snyder stuff, but...
But you keep your Snyder out of my MCU.
No, I think that's... I mean, I said it when we did the review of the teaser yesterday. Like, totally does seem like that is what's happening. You know, like, that does seem like the kind of story they're trying to tell. This big, sweeping, mythic story about superheroes.
Yeah.
Which is very much cool. The Snyder thing.
Yeah.
We'll see how it should be done.
Yeah, I hope so. Interesting that he says... he wants it to be a film that isn't essential to the overall narrative of Phase 4. What do you think of that?
I'm on board, honestly. Like, we're at a turning point in the MCU. We're at a point mm-hmm. where everything, it's either everything matters, rather, a property either matters to everything or it matters to almost nothing. And like WandaVision was kind of the, honestly, it was kind of the latter in that like it didn't have all of those connective tissue points to everything in the world. Hmm. Like there were only a couple of things that really got affected by WandaVision. But then like Falcon and the Winter Soldier was like a humongous, like world changing thing of like new face of Captain America. Like this guy's talking to the Senate like that. And like it's dealing with the fallout from the GRC and like there's all kinds of things. It felt like WandaVision was more localized as far as story.
I would disagree. I just think we haven't seen the effects yet.
That's fair.
We haven't had time to. I mean, literally Falcon Winter Soldier happens before it, right? Or does it happen right after or around the same time? I don't know.
It's after.
It does happen after.
Yeah. A few months after.
So my point is, I just don't know that we've had time for that story to have its effects. And the fact that it seems to be leading into Multiverse of Madness to me is like, it's going to have huge sweeping implications for future things. Like maybe bigger than the entire universe. So I feel like it's going to have some pretty crazy things effects.
It well could. And I, you know, if it comes to that, I will be happy to see something so connected, but because there was no Mephisto in it, it's connected to nothing in my mind.
So this is another Mephisto thing.
Yeah,
right, well, thank Mephisto you guys thing. For joining us today. Let's bring in Ashley and see if she has anything over from the live chats. What's up, Ash?
Hey. Hey. Sorry, I have a throat. I'm fine.
Having a great time?
Yeah.
What's happening in the live chat?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm not sure how to say. Obi Lutz TV is what I'm going to go with. What if the Eternals helped Howard Stark with technology in the 40s, ergo the Vibranium Shield, hence Sprite's Captain Rogers name drop instead of Captain America? They seem to be helping civilization. Not hard to believe they helped find or forge Vibranium.
Ooh, I like the idea that Captain Rogers, the fact that they know him as that instead of Captain America is like because they knew him before. Yeah, I like that a lot. That's fun.
Yeah.
Ooh, just in general, do you think that we will see them? We know they're going to encounter these kind of distant past moments of the MCU. Do you think we will see the Eternals experiencing moments from the MCU that we have seen, like World War II? Will we actually see one of them in a fight with Captain America, or will we see one of them sometime in the like in the fight against Thanos, similar to what we saw with the Ancient One joining the fight in a way just we never saw her, you know?
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I started laughing in the middle of you saying that. Like, the first thing I thought of was like somebody in the Arctic seeing the plane go down in Captain America, mm-hmm. the first Avenger. And just being like, oh, that sucks, bro.
It's like, yeah. We don't interfere, tokes on pipe.
Why did we jump out, stupid?
Like, oh, man, that's too bad.
So, such a butthole.
Bye.
It's one of them being a real jerk.
Yeah, it's just one of the Eternals being a real douche. Ah, oh, sucks, bro.
Lee Brady on YouTube says the rat that helps Scott out of the quantum realm in Endgame might be from the Internals somehow? Question mark.
Ooh. Yep. Yep.
You laugh, but that's not horrible. maybe Druid controls that rat into the. That'd be such totally. A crazy reveal. Yeah. Such a crazy God. Reveal if we found out that was
mind
true.
Mind blown.
I think I hate it.
I'm
not sure.
I don't think I hate it as much as I should.
I don't think I hate it that much either. That's a very Greek god thing to do. Like, if you look at it right. like a Grecian... Yeah.
That is fair. That is fair.
And the last one is from Joel Martinez Jr. on YouTube. And this one's fun. It says, if you could place all the main Netflix characters in the upcoming Marvel films and not the shows we presumed they'd be in, which ones would you choose? I would pretty easily place Iron Fist in Shang-Chi.
Okay, so if we look at all of the Defenders or the Netflix characters, where would we put them?
I would want to put, I guess, like, what about shows? I'm going to amend this and say the upcoming shows, too.
Sure.
Because I would like to see Jessica Jones in She-Hulk.
Ooh, yeah. I would really like to see Jessica Jones in She-Hulk. I'd also like to see Daredevil in She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd really like to see Daredevil in Spider-Man.
Isn't Jennifer whatever already a lawyer? Okay.
Right. So she could be on the, they could be on opposite sides. I guess she is normally a defense attorney as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is she? I don't know.
I think she is.
Is she?
Because doesn't she defend the superheroes too?
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So, I mean, they could work together. That's a superhero team up. We got a team up.
Yay.
A team up where they don't punch anyone. They just argue in a courtroom together.
Yes.
Still counts.
It's a superhero team up where they don't punch anybody. They just argue in a courtroom, but also they use Jessica Jones as their like informant, their private eye, their investigator. They use Alias Investigations.
Yeah.
And she doesn't punch anybody either. She's just really stealthy and good with the camera.
Yeah.
I dig it.
It's perfect.
Me too.
Let's see. Who else?
Luke Cage. I think Cage.
Iron Fist and Shang-Chi is pretty obvious, but...
Yeah.
And could happen. But I more than that, I'd like to see Colleen Wing show up in Shang-Chi.
That's you just want more Colleen Wing than you want...
Yeah,
Iron Fist.
100%. Go watch Game of Thrones. You won't be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is she what?
Yeah, she's in Game of Thrones.
She's one of the Sand Snakes.
Mm-hmm. The sisters.
I didn't know that.
The one with the whip. The whip.
Hmm. I'm gonna have to go rewatch that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who's who? Luke Cage.
I just want Daredevil and everything.
Where do we want Luke Cage?
Me too.
I want him in Spider-Man though.
I feel like Luke Cage and Spider-Man would be pretty cool. This is a New York hero.
Yeah. Well, then we could put Nick Cage.
No.
Luke Cage in Ms. Marvel if we want to spread him out.
Nah, guys. Heroes for hire. We've jumped forward a few years, so they now have Heroes for Hire as a business. And the Spider-Man's like bounty on his head is so high for Peter Parker, that you have Iron Fist and Luke Cage are hunting Peter Parker. And then, of course, they get out-hunted by Kraven, and then there's a whole thing. Yeah.
And then it's just hunt on hunt.
Yeah.
I like it.
And Punisher...
I don't know if I like it.
I think Punisher in Moon Knight.
Yeah. That might make sense.
Feels like it could cross over, interestingly.
Or in the new Captain America movie, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
That could be good.
Man, Sam Wilson versus Punisher.
What about Punisher and Hawkeye in the Hawkeye series?
Yeah.
That could work.
That could be really good, given that he just had his like stint as Ronin, and he like...
Yeah.
He would understand
just randomly killing people.
From. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. He's like, I get it, man. I did that shit for 5 years. You can't let it eat you like that.
Yeah. I like that pretty well. Of course, I don't think this is going to be Hawkeye's show. It's the problem. I think it's going to be...
He's handing off the torch.
Yeah, it's going to be him handing the torch to the younger Hawkeye. Yeah.
Punisher kills him, and she has to avenge him.
Ooh.
That's rough. That's rough.
After- I'd watch it. I'd watch it.
I knew. Ashley's like, I ship it.
Yeah.
I ship it. Hawkeye and his gun and his bullets.
I love John Bernthal. Mm.
Me too. Me too. Yeah, what if, like, he's training her. He's training her not to be angry and not to turn to the dark side like he did for 5 years, right? Like, that's, like, yeah, part of his training. Like, maybe she's got a lot of darkness in her and wants vengeance and everything. And then Punisher comes in and kills Hawkeye for whatever reason. Like, I don't know what the motivation there would be. But
maybe, I could give you about 3 or 4 reasons. No, I'm just kidding. Oof.
Ashley, you're such an anti-hero. And then she has to, like, decide not to seek vengeance, you know? Not that she could seek vengeance. I mean,
it's like T'Challa's like story.
Yeah, that's got a real T'Challa feel to it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Mm. Vengeance has consumed you.
So who else? Who else is from the?
We've covered it.
Hellcat, it's only
Elektra.
Elektra.
Hellcat's in prison. Hellcat's at the raft.
Ooh, Hellcat.
That's Hellcat. Cool.
Hellcat comes in the Thunderbolts. Yes. There it is.
Yes. Yeah.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
Hot.
Okay. Love that.
I like it.
Love that.
Trish.
Trish comes in and she's like the PR person, you know, so she'd like be able to help them like work on, she'd be always talking about their image and stuff and like, we got to work on your image, John. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
I like it. I like it. I like it.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's probably good.
Probably. I think it'd be really funny though. I think it'd be really funny to see Luke Cage come in Blade, like Luke Cage dealing with vampires, like not being able to be bitten.
Ooh,
perfect.
Because of his skin.
No movie.
Yeah, but they're still like too fast for him, or you know, there's something that makes them a formidable foe. They just can't get through his skin. So
I want a zombie movie with Luke Cage in it. Is he in Marvel Zombies? He's got to be, right?
I don't remember. There's like 3 stories of Marvel Zombies at this point. I think there's 3.
I want an I Am Legend story about like Luke Cage being like the last.
I Am Luke.
I Am Luke, and he's just like the last surviving human because he had the impenetrable skin.
Yep. He's just like, ugh. Damn it.
I love it. I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's it for us as today. Please reach out at patreon.com/mcucast if you want to support the show. Really, really helps out. And thank you for everyone who has done that recently. All the new patrons have been really supporting the show in a huge way. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll be back soon. That was all the feedback, right? Did we get to all of them? Ash?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, cool. I thought so. Cool. All right, guys. Well, thank you again, and we'll be back soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.